Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Question, why are you celebrating Christmas this year? This is Wretched Radio. I think it's safe to say that for most of us, Christmas just kind of happens. The calendar page gets turned and the music starts getting pumped out of the public's loudspeakers that you're supposed to have a holly jolly Christmas. And then what do? You get everybody's Christmas list put together. You got to do who's going to make the, who's going to bring the, got to make sure the house is ready, put up the decorations. And it can be pretty perfunctory because it just overwhelms us. And that is why I would ask you to ask yourself, why you're doing Christmas. You don't have to, by the way. You don't have to do all of the things that the world implies you should, implies. They scream that you should. You don't have to. There's not a Bible verse that says you need to put up a tree, that you need to get a bunch of presents, that you need to have a massive meal. None of it. You don't have to do any of it, and you're not sinning. So I would ask you, why then are you doing it? Because if we don't have a reason, a purpose behind it, I think most of us will just live through another Christmas. It will just happen. Some for better, others for worse. It depends on the family dynamic mostly. Perhaps it depends on whether you're employed or not, how much money you have to buy the stuff for the celebration. But overall, it's just going to kind of go by, and it's a lot of work, isn't it? It's a lot of work. So I would ask you again, why are we doing this besides the cultural peer pressure? I would like to suggest, now this isn't the only thing that you can think about for Christmas, but I would suggest if you focus on seeking this, your Christmas will be more meaningful. You will do these things more aware of why it is that we're doing these things. You'll listen to sermons that perhaps you've heard however many years you've been alive and been going to church on Christmas. You got it, the incarnation, got it, the long expected prophet, David's son, David's son, got it. But if you have this intention behind the reason that you are doing everything for Christmas, when it's all done, you will have the very fruit that you were seeking. What is the purpose that I would suggest you have backing everything that you do for Christmas? Love. Love. Your love for God. That this is a season where as we go about all of the tasks that accompany and are associated with Christmas, we try to think about what Christmas is so that we can grow in our love for the Lord. After all, isn't that the first and greatest commandment? We forget that sometimes, don't we? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That should dominate our lives. And Christmas, if we keep that goal in mind, will become far more meaningful and beneficial. J.C. Ryle in his book, Holiness. Formality is not Christianity. Ignorant lip worship is not true religion. Did you hear how he hit both sides? Which side are you on? Formality is not Christianity. Are you a learner? Learner, learner. I study, read, and I highlight, and I take notes, and I do sermon notes, and I'm in Bible studies. Okay, all good. But is it mere formality for the sake of just learning? Because that's what mere learning does. It cultivates a distance, just a head knowledge more than a heart change. And on the other side of the coin, ignorant lip worship. That's not true religion either. J.C. Ryle writes this, the true Christian is one whose religion is in his heart and life. So in other words, you feel it and you express it through doing and through obedience. It is felt by himself in his heart. It is seen by others in his conduct and life. Beside all of this, there is one thing in a true Christian which is eminently peculiar to him. That thing is to love Christ. After all, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. We are to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Consider, get ready for these words. This is scary business. 1 Corinthians 16:22. If any man loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Didn't say believe. No, you're damned if you don't believe. But what Paul just said is you're damned if you don't love the Savior. Did you catch that? Do you hear any wiggle room in that statement? Is there any room for, well, you know, not love him, you know, much, or let's not get carried away with the lovey-dovey business here. No, you're anathema if you don't love Jesus Christ, because that is the greatest commandment. And that is the reason that he came to this planet, to reconcile us to God, to introduce us into a peaceful relationship with his Father, that we would love him. How's about Ephesians 6:24? Grace be with all of those, and then here's the qualifier, who gets this grace benediction, to those who love our Lord Jesus Christ, hold on, in sincerity. In other words, true Christianity is about loving our God. If God were your Father, you would love me, said Jesus in John 8:42. We love our God. Might I encourage you to keep that in view for Christmas? As you hear the Mary, did you know, O Holy Night, that you remember that this was the greatest act of love ever. God sending his Son to die for you, a sinner, so that you could be adopted, so that you could be brought into the family of God, so that you could be preserved until eternity and for all of eternity because of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. That you could be sanctified, that you could experience mind renewal, and one day that you would be glorified. That's why Jesus came to this planet. And if you fail to remember why he did this, what motivated him, then you need to watch a football game, because John 3:16 is posted everywhere. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So what might this look like for Christmas? I hate to use this word because it's been co-opted by the mindfulness folks, but we need to be mindful. Why are you doing any of this? Perhaps the biggest thing that we do for Christmas that involves the most money and time is the gifting. And this might be the most obvious way that you can be mindful of the love of God at Christmas time. Whatever the gift is that you get, as nice as it might be, you can receive that gift. You can thank the one who gave it to you, God, through a human being, and you can appreciate the gift. You can enjoy the gift, but simultaneously, that gift should remind you, this ain't nothing compared to the gift that I have been given in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger in a backwater town with very, very few amenities, frankly, if any, who lived a perfect life of righteousness, marched to a cross, died, rose again so that I could be justified and adopted and sanctified and glorified. So this gift, yeah, it's nice. It ain't nothing compared to the gift that I get in Jesus Christ. When you sing the songs that are the good ones, that you, whether you hear them in public or in private, remember what happened on this celebration of this random date, that God was expressing his love for humanity, and you're included in humanity. Was it Sunday? I guess it was just Sunday. I believe Jason, who preached a whiz banger at Alpharetta Bible Church. Oh, was it fine? Based on John chapter 10, it was about how Jesus was born to preserve us so that we could live and eat with eternal security. How all of creation glorifies God, and that God looks upon his creation with pleasure because it brings him glory. Okay, who's included in creation? You are. That means God looks upon his creation, including people, with favor. Now, if you're in Christ, that gets intensified to an infinite degree, because in Christ, you have all favor because Jesus has all favor. Remember that when you're singing the songs, when you listen to the sermons at church, as we make our way to Christmas and Christmas Eve, don't lose sight of the fact that God gave his son out of the abundance of his love so that you and I could have everything, everything. And that should cause us then to love him. Question, why are you celebrating Christmas this year? This is Wretched Radio.
Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match up to $500,000. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. Probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. And get this, it's all free. Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus. At FortisPlus.org.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor, but he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Question number two, what is the main thing you are teaching your children about Jesus? This is Wretched Radio. As is always the case, if you do not have a well-defined goal, it is pretty unlikely you're going to hit the target. So what is it that we want our children to think about, believe about, know about our God? What is it? The number one thing. You're probably running through a list of attributes right now. His holiness, his righteousness, his justice. What about the softer attributes? His kindness, his gentleness, meekness, mercy, his grace. And how's about his love? J.C. Ryle, who is not a squish bomb, in his book titled Holiness, he says the number one thing that you should be desiring for your children to know about Jesus Christ is that they love him. From the book Holiness, love to Christ is the point which we ought specially to dwell upon in teaching religion to our children. I can't help but wonder, maybe, possibly, if one of the reasons that we see these shocking statistics of the kids that grew up in Christian homes, they run off to university and they run away from their family's faith, is because we failed to instruct them to love God and to give them every reason in the world why they should. And I look back on my own parenting years and I can say, oh, guilty, oh, guilty. We taught a lot of Christian morality, and that is right and good, but at least according to J.C. Ryle, and oh yeah, Jesus, who said the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, wasn't as prominent as obedience and teaching and theology and Bible memory, all of which are good and right. But if they do not point our children to loving God, then they'll have missed the point of Christianity, won't they? This is again from J.C. Ryle. Our love to Christ is the inseparable companion of saving faith. Do you love Christ? Do you love Christ? It's inseparable. If you believe in Jesus rightly, you love him. You can't believe rightly if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Love to Christ is the mainspring of work for Christ. The heart must be interested before the hands will move and continue moving. In other words, God is after the heart. I would ask you for Christmas, is that why you're doing what you're doing? To warm the affections of your heart? In your child rearing, is it aimed at helping your child to think about Jesus and go, that's the one for whom I want to live and die? That's the one. Right. I want to know him. I want to love him. Now, a question that J.C. Ryle anticipates and answers, what does it look like to love Jesus? And just very basic, but very helpful and simple. Well, what does it look like to love a human? I mean, would it be less to love God the way that we love human beings? So perhaps this will serve as Don't get twisted and tortured over this, but perhaps it will reveal if your focus has been off. Remember, anytime you hear, whether it's a radio program, a podcast, a sermon, whatever it is, and it convicts you, that doesn't disqualify you from the faith. That's just the Lord redirecting you. It's the Lord revealing to you there's an area of your life that needs some tweaking. So here are the seven ways that love for Jesus expresses itself, and he uses our relationship with human beings. If we love a person, we like to think about that person. Okay, so if you love Jesus, you think about Jesus. Question, do you think about Jesus? I know you don't think about him enough. I didn't ask if you think about him enough. I said, do you think about him? Do you, besides just going to church, besides your disciplines, which are well and good, do you think about Jesus the same way that you think about a spouse? that a child thinks about their parent. They actually, he comes to mind. That's a sign that you love him. Number two, if we love a person, we like to hear about that person. Do you like listening to sermons? Do you like listening to people teaching about Jesus Christ? Now, be careful here, because if you're wired the way I am, and if you are, I'm sorry for that. Sometimes we like to hear because we just kind of dig the subject matter as if it is just matter, that it's just a field of study like anything else, like internet. Oh, I love the internet. I love technology. All right. That doesn't mean that they believe in technology, certainly in a salvific kind of way with a saving faith. They just like it. And that's a danger for some of us. We just like theology. But studying theology doesn't necessarily mean you love the object of the theology. That's why it's so important when we go to church. I'm going to be preaching on this December 28th, that we have to reboot our brains before we walk through the door. And I don't mean just as we're walking through the door. I think prior to the church service, why am I going here? What am I doing? What is my expectation? What's going to happen here? Why am I listening to this sermon? For many of us, it's to do nothing but critique it, because we like to. That's just what we like to do. And it comes so natural to us, doesn't it? It's just so easy. That's not the point of preaching at all. Obviously, if the pastor says something heretical, that's one thing. But just sitting there, well, you know, I think that there were... Okay, so Jimmy, yes. Jason had 7 points in his sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church on Sunday.
Okay.
Should have been 5. That's all I'm saying. That was good, but 5 points. I mean, that's what... Huh? That's just being critical. And that reveals that maybe I'm not going to, because I want to hear about the one I love. I want to hear about the one I love. And that means I can overlook some stuff because I'm not going there to do that. I'm going there because I get to hear about the one that I love with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you can adopt that mindset before going to church, oh, that's a game changer. I'm telling you. And it's a sign, according to Ryle, that you're saved. Number three. If you love a person, you like to read about that person. All right, how are you doing with Bible reading? Number four, if we love a person, we like to please that person. Do you like to please that person? Specifically when it comes to your besetting sin, might I ask? You know, the one, that nagger, the one that just kind of just has hooks in you that just won't ever really go away. All right, do you resist that temptation? Why? It should be because you love him. I love you more, Lord, than this fleeting pleasure, whatever it happens to be. That is a sign, a mark that you love Jesus Christ. You are motivated to deny yourself because your Savior is way more important, way more precious to you than fill in the blank sin. Number five, if we love a person, get ready for this one. Especially if you have perhaps not been going to church for a while. If we love a person, we like his friends. Do you like people that you go to church with? You don't? Uh-oh, there's a problem. We have a tendency, don't we? It's just been baked into us that we judge people based on their alignment with our preferences. They dress the way that we do. They have the same likes. They go to the same restaurant because they've got good culinary tastes like we do. We find ourselves having an affinity for people that share our likes and interests. Well, that's all fine, but that ain't Christianity. We share Jesus in common. And that means if you like going, I don't know, like to Chipotle instead of the Italian bistro, well, okay, I don't care. Yeah, you got bad taste because of the Chipotle business. I'm just saying, I don't care about that. Why? Because we're in Christ, and we look past those things, because the more important thing is the thing that we share in common, and that is our Savior. Number six, if we love a person, we are jealous about his name and honor. Number seven, if we love a person, we like to talk about him. Might that convict you to be a little bit more courageous when it comes to evangelism? We don't hesitate at all, do we? I see this all the time. Okay, here's what I've never seen. Grandparent, they have their first grandchild. Hey, what's new? Nothing I want to talk about. No, I just want nothing I want to say about anything. Everything's good. Everything's good. No, it's like blah, 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 blah about the grandkid. Why? Because they love the grandkid. Same thing is true with Jesus. If you love him, you'll talk about him. Question, do you love Jesus? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.